Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and I am super excited to introduce today's guest, Flora Ware. Flora is a sacred sound priestess and founder of Earth Song Temple, where she serves a global community through ceremony, singing circles, and earth magic. She has a career background in professional music and theater, marketing, and business. Flora believes that our voices are magical instruments for healing and manifestation, and loves nothing more than helping women express their medicine and magic. She lives in Vernon, BC, Canada, with her wife and young wizard in training. That's beautiful. Welcome, Flora.
Thanks so much, Emmy. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, it's a blessing to have you with us. And I am super excited about our conversation.
Me too.
Great. Now, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
Well, for me personally, nothing embodies sacred feminine power more than the earth herself. And so for me, I think even as a young child and growing up, I just always felt that sacred feminine energy, being in nature and always in awe of the power of nature. And I was blessed to have parents that were equally, lovers of nature. And instead of going to church on Sundays, we always had a family nature walk or a family hike or doing something outdoors and spending a lot of time, in that environment. And so that sacred feminine power that I feel that is embodied in nature is one of cyclical abundance. It's an energy of receiving and giving equally, and that grounded beauty that we feel when we are in nature. And all of that, for me, is the embodiment of sacred feminine power.
I love that, Flora, and couldn't agree with you more. Cyclical abundance, what a beautiful, beautiful concept. I'm sure we're going to dive deeper into a couple of the issues that you mentioned there already. But before we go there, Flora, I would love to hear from you about a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate sacred feminine power within you.
Oh, yeah. There's been many. As I've approached midlife now, I'm 45, almost 46. Life continues to give you those initiations, right? Those opportunities to either step into your authentic power or to learn through a different way. I would say that one of the biggest lessons around that in recent years for me was in starting my own business and stepping into entrepreneurship. I considered myself a fairly confident person in life, fairly lucky that way. I'm naturally extroverted. I have a Gemini moon, so I can just talk to anybody, I'm not shy. So when I started my business and being in entrepreneurship, it was really eye-opening and surprising that I had a lot of these core wounds come up around my worthiness and like feelings of what's called imposter syndrome. Like, who am I? Am I good enough to be, now stepping into this role of teacher and it was just comparing myself, right? Like, looking at other entrepreneurs who had already started. So all of that, right? The comparison, the worthiness, it all really came up. And anyone who has stepped into entrepreneurship knows that it is a personal growth journey for sure. And so for the first 2 years, I was not only learning the skills to run my business, I was having to give equal attention to my mindset around being worthy, being good enough to do what I envisioned that I could do, and with my sacred work. So a lot of different modalities that I've dabbled with, and some that have really stuck with me. But, you know, and even now I'm almost 7 years into running my business, and it doesn't come up as often, but it still does come up. So it's an ongoing process of, yeah, being really challenged to either step into my authentic power, knowing that I am fully worthy and smart enough, good enough, and all of those little things, and the little, the inner critic will try to take us down. It's been hugely rewarding to be self-employed, not only for the freedom of expression and the freedom of my time, and making money from my soul's gifts, but it's been hugely rewarding for the growth in my own awareness and really the growth in my self-love. I can honestly say now that I love myself more, genuinely, and now than I did 7 years ago. And it's because of all of the healing and growth work that I've intentionally done to support me in being in sacred business.
I love that, and very much resonating with everything that you're saying, being on that same entrepreneurship journey myself, and having had massive, massive learning curves and healing opportunities with the worthiness wound and the imposter syndrome as well. So thank you for sharing about that so openly. And it's really intriguing that it's through a business that you grow so much, isn't it? Because I never imagined becoming a businesswoman either.
Yeah. And if someone had told me, well, if you want to be really successful in business, you're going to need to really love yourself, I would have said, what?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What would you say is the hidden blessing, or the hidden blessing behind these challenges that you've gone through in terms of starting your business and continuing with it? I mean, 7 years as a solo entrepreneur, that's a long time already.
Yeah, it is. I really feel that the hidden blessing is the genuine self-love. Mm. And I actually want to thank you for this opportunity to have this heart-to-heart conversation, because I honestly don't know if I've ever even articulated that in the way that I just have, that at the heart of it all, the healing and the feeling like I'm worthy enough to do this. And it really does, like the antidote of that imposter syndrome, the antidote of any feelings of unworthiness is unconditional love and acceptance. So what better blessing is there than that?
Yeah, so very true. And love being such an important medicine and remedy and elixir for everything, especially in these times of transition that we are living through on our planet. So as you say, I mean, self-love is really step number one. That's where we need to start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is, because without it, we swirl around in holding ourselves back and not sharing our medicine and not sharing our wisdom and not expressing our gifts, because we're listening to the inner critic that, from that ego standpoint, is trying to protect us and keep us safe, but really only serves to inhibit us.
Absolutely. So very true. Yeah. It's a beautiful journey coming to understand these core wounds, I would call them, at a deeper level, and then actually releasing them and healing them. It really is an amazing, amazing feeling to well, first and foremost, to love yourself more, but then also to realize that, wow, I really can put myself out there. I really can trust that I matter, that what I say matters, and what I offer actually also matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think a really important thing that I've learned and that I share with my clients is that when we're caught up in the more of the core wounds, right, and the fears or the doubts, we're making it about ourselves. Right? It's like our fear, our doubt, our worries, right? Instead, focus on the good that you could be doing if you were actually out there sharing what it is that you want to share. And I don't even, that this is a message even for non-entrepreneurs, right? Yeah. You don't, you know, there isn't more inherent value in receiving money for what you do, but just remembering to put the focus on the benefit that you could provide others, the impact that you could possibly have if you got out of your own way and didn't listen to those inhibiting fear-based voices in the head. And instead you listen to your heart and your soul, because if your heart and your soul is guiding you towards learning something, teaching something, sharing something, offering something, then that dream is in your heart for a reason. And so focus on the beautiful impact and how you could help others rather than making it about yourself and staying stuck in that doubt and insecurity. So it's an important switch when you can, essentially get out of your own way.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really great way of putting it as well. Now, I know a lot of your work focuses on the voice and the healing power of our voices. Would you please share a little bit more about why you are so passionate about this, and how is it that our voices can actually bring about healing?
I am so passionate about voices because it is this incredible instrument that we've all been given. It's our goddess-given healing instrument, right? We're all born with a voice. And what's really amazing is that babies, talking about, you know, the ways that we're inhibited, babies have no inhibition in using their voice to express their needs, right? Mm. Like, we come into this world knowing to use our voice, to cry out, to say, I'm hungry, or I'm cold, or I'm wet, or I need to be held. We cry out, and if we have caregivers that are attuned to us and present with us, then we actually learn that using our voice and expressing our needs is how we get those needs met. And unfortunately, not all of us are raised with those kind of present or attentive caregivers. Or even if we do, over time, we grow up and there can be different conditioning that happens or different messages that we learn to not express our needs as freely or as vocally. We learn that it maybe is okay to express ourselves in this situation, but it's not as okay to express ourselves in this situation. So my passion for the voice started early. I was singing songs before I could even speak, really, but I was also an early talker. and I had those parents that encouraged me to express myself, to sing, to make music. And so I had that privilege in my upbringing that creative expression was almost expected in my family, some kind of creative expression. And so I just learned to, I learned how to use my entire body and everything that I had as that expression. I'm also a dancer and I did acting. And so like the whole instrument, everything that I could use. So this has been my passion for a long, long time. And after I got my music diploma and I was studying contemporary and jazz voice, really getting into the American songbook of jazz standards. And it was very soon after that that I actually discovered vocal sound healing. And this was a beautiful fusion of my spirituality, which was a very important and meaningful part of my life, and then of music and singing. And then suddenly with vocal sound healing, those two worlds met, that it was music and spirituality in one. And so in my training with vocal sound healing, I was able to deepen my understanding of the vocal instrument in a very sacred way. And that was about 20 years ago. And I started teaching chakra toning workshops so that people could, you know, begin to use their voices and understand the energy systems in the body. And then over the years, chanting, devotional chanting has been a primary way for me to connect with the divine and to celebrate the divine with others in ceremony, like through those devotional chants, through those sacred songs. And every time that we sing together, or any time that someone chants a mantra in their own meditation practice, we are putting the vibration of our voice out into the world, into the air. And so it is really putting a part of our spirit out into the world. And there's so many different ways that we can use the voice for healing. And I just coming back to why I'm passionate about it, I'm just so passionate to remind people that you don't have to be a great singer. This isn't about being a great singer. All of those, if anyone had those, any people in their life that told them to be quiet, or, you know, I work with a lot of people that in healing those memories where a parent told them to shut up, or a friend said, "You sound awful when you sing that." And me, even if they said it in a joking way, you know, but when we sing from our soul, when we're singing to spirit, it's not about hitting the right notes. It's not about that perfection or that performance. It isn't a performance. It is one of the most humble offerings that we can make to the divine in when we share our voice.
That is so beautiful. I love everything that you said there. And I am one of those people who was often told to be quiet, or instead of singing, start to whistle. So I was always criticized for my voice, and really spent many, many years refusing to sing at all. And it really, in many ways, I'm still on that healing journey of being comfortable enough and confident enough to actually sing in ceremony, even, or to even chant mantras in front of people. I'm okay with my talking voice. I'm very okay with meditations and journeys and so on. But the singing part, my goodness me, even now I can still feel that like clenching in my solar plexus when I say that. So it's incredible how so many of us really truly are traumatized from our early childhoods and actually stop using our voices altogether.
Yeah, it really is so sad. And I'm sorry to hear that you were criticized for your voice. And yet it's a really common story that I hear all the time. And this is something that I really hope starts to change generation by generation.
Absolutely. And I think it is, because I think it is becoming more and more openly accepted and encouraged for us to again start to sing in public, to do ceremony, to be part of ritual and chant, whether it's by ourselves or in groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would suggest if someone has a lot of those, the nervousness and feeling shy, that you do just start on your own. that maybe that's a way. It's just between you and God, right? You and Goddess, right? No, don't need to worry about anyone else's ears. And then perhaps you'll find yourself in a situation, a group ceremony or some group where you can just blend your voice with many voices, and that it's about a beautiful sharing of whatever that chant or the mantra or the song is about, and having that experience to crack you open.
Yeah, very true. That's beautiful advice. I remember one of my most powerful experiences has been sitting in circle where we were simply just chanting Om and reaching a point where I couldn't actually tell anymore which of the voices was mine because we were all blending together. And there was this like this, what is the right word to use here? It became beyond ourselves. It became something much bigger than ourselves. And the voices were just in one unified field, lifting the frequency in the room. It was incredible.
Yes. Yeah, those moments where we really merge into the vibrational field that the voices are creating. Oh, I love how you describe that. So beautiful, Emmy.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, what would you say to our listeners who are really wanting to start using their voices specifically in ceremony and ritual? What would you say would be the kind of like the first step? You talked about serving spirit through your voice earlier, and I really love that concept. But what would you advise our listeners as their first step around that?
Yeah. So for a personal practice, solo practice, personal rituals, my advice is always to look at where you have just fallen into the habit of doing everything in silence, right? Because especially if you're alone and you're just, you know, meditating, doing a bit of a candle ritual or whatever you're doing, whatever your path working looks like. It's, as a solo practitioner, it can be really easy to fall into that habit of just doing everything in silence. So could you just as a first step actually start speaking aloud your the casting of the circle or the calling of the directions, if that's something you do, or to state your intention out loud to the space, rather than, again, maybe you've just gotten into the habit that you always just think it, you know, you're telepathically, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's very, you know, and silence has its place and is very powerful and amplifying as well. But just to think, well, how could I start using my voice in my own rituals? Just start speaking some things out loud. If you call in and invoke welcoming your, spirit team or guardian angels, or if you're working with a particular deity, consider welcoming them out loud, like name them, right? And really use your voice. And then this is just for speaking. In terms of actually getting to some toning or vocalizing, one of the easiest things is to just let yourself tone, which is just to make a suspended sound, like on any vowel, like an om, what you were talking about. And you can use that toning on an om as a way to cast the circle or to close your little ritual in any way. And so there's just, you can take baby steps. That's really what I'm wanting to indicate here. Take baby steps to simply start using this incredible tool that is your voice for manifestation, like when you're saying, stating an intention very clearly out loud, there's more, little bit more power and oomph to that than if you're only thinking it, or even if you're writing it down. Say it out loud and you find ways and get creative. If you want to play some music so that you have that support to sing along, go ahead, right? Bring your voice in and start to give it that honor and respect as one of your magical tools, just like you would with your other magical tools, whether you use a wand or crystals or tarot or a scrying bowl, like whatever your practice is, start to realize that your voice is just as valuable.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love that as well. Really, really great advice for our listeners there. Thank you for that, Flora. And as you were talking there, I don't know if this is something that you've been either doing research around or reflecting on by yourself, but what came to me as you were talking was a time when I was in Egypt and we had gathered in a group by the Great Pyramids in Giza. And we were just setting our intentions and calling in our guides and our ancestors and our support teams, essentially, before we went into the pyramids. And I actually chose to do the invocation in my mother tongue, which is Finnish. I spent most of my time speaking English and doing all of my invocations, all of my ritual and ceremony in English. I dream in English. It's the main language that I use nowadays, but my mother tongue is Finnish. And calling on my ancestors, calling on the primordial gods and goddesses of Finland, of that area, it actually brought me to tears to be using the words from my mother tongue and to say them out loud in a group that had no idea what those words meant. But I was talking to the spirit realm when I was saying them out loud.
I'm getting goosebumps as you're sharing this, Amy.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. And I have something else to add to that, that yes, if you have a mother tongue that you maybe don't speak in as often, but to go back to that, whew, yeah, you're likely to have a very powerful experience, just like what Emmy described. The other thing is that if you are wanting to work with some specific deities and you're a native English speaker like myself, to learn the proper pronunciation of their names and to not use the more anglicized versions of some of the names or the places, so that when you are speaking to spirit and you're connecting that you are speaking in their language, right? Does that make sense? Mm. I'm a real proponent of making sure that it's an honoring and as a bonus, this I know we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but one of the ways that we can help activate past life remembrance, I believe, is through other languages. And so when we suddenly start to say some words in another language, if there is any kind of spiritual ancestral connection, a past life connection, it will kind of like ping, ping, some remembrance in the, you know, in us, in our being, that connects us even more closely.
I love that rabbit hole. That's really awesome. Yeah, I love that. And also, as you're chanting mantras, to use the as closely as possible the pronunciation of the original language, whether it's Sanskrit or something else, so that you're really, yeah, as you say, honoring the originators of that mantra and that language as well.
So important. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I'm loving our conversation, Flora, and I would love to talk to you for hours, but there is one more avenue or a pathway that I would love to just explore with you for a little while. And that is the biological connection between specific body parts within ourselves, and specifically the connection between our voices or our voice boxes and our vaginas. Would you please speak to that as well?
Yes. Okay. So it is one of it's just one of these miracles and mysteries of life. So I'm not going to be able to describe it maybe necessarily super well, but when we are forming, in the womb, right? And if anyone is a mother and so has been pregnant, we often follow along in that progress, right? So like we start as like this tiny speck, and then we're like, a blastocyst. And then, you know, we slowly become a fetus, right? Where we know the fetus. But before we become even that fetus, which you have to think that we're kind of almost like folded in half. It's kind of a funny thing to think about, but it's like we're folded in half. And then as we slowly become a fetus, we kind of like start to stretch out and we're in that little jelly bean shape. But our voices, our larynxes, that's the anatomical term, it's the larynx, the voice box, and our cervixes and our reproductive organs as women form at the same time and from the same and in the same place, basically. Mm-hmm. And so then as we, like I said, as we begin to grow and stretch out and they become separate organs, visually our uteruses and down our cervixes visually look almost identical to the inside of our throats. Mm. and their voice boxes. One of the reasons, again, this is in English, but that we have the different parts of the spine, right? The lower part of the spine is the lumbar. Then we have the thoracic. And then what's the top of the spine called? It's the cervical spine. Mm. Cervical. Because it came, again, we were connected with the cervix. So even anatomically, like we know this. And so what's one thing that they always tell pregnant, not just pregnant, but like in labor, like mothers in labor, is to open the mouth and open the jaw to go and to make sound, right? Like getting through those contractions. It's because an open jaw helps open the cervix and open the hips. So I hope that maybe some people are listening and you're realizing, right, these connections there. So again, when we're making love and our sex chakra is being activated, and what do we naturally want to do with that pleasure? We vocalize, we moan, right? And so we feel this connection, and it's not just a, ooh, I feel this nice connection. No, there is a physiological, a connection of anatomy that for women, especially when we are shut down in our voices, we can potentially also be shut down in our sex chakra and our sexual expression. Sexual trauma and abuse can also then lead to feeling silenced and shut down in our voices and our expression, right? It can go both ways. So sometimes when women start vocalizing and opening up their throat, they'll experience huge healing around their sexual energy or their past with sexual partners, or if there was any abuse, because it's so energetically connected as well as physiologically connected. So last thing I'll say is just a beautiful healing visualization that you can work with is to sit just comfortably on a chair, to let your knees splay out. So like the opposite of, you know, sit proper as a lady with your mm-hmm. legs crossed, right? Like let your knees and your thighs open up. So you're very open there, and to breathe and to visualize a figure eight from your sex chakra, your womb center. And even if you don't have a womb anymore, that is still your center, right? You're still working with the energy, the imprint that's there, but a figure eight up from the womb up to your throat chakra. And then the energy circles back down, and just visualize this figure eight of moving energy as you breathe and relax your jaw, relax your tongue, and feel how relaxing the jaw and the tongue so that your mouth is even slightly open. Feel how it relaxes the pelvis and that it relaxes the yoni. Ooh, and then once you do that for a while, try some toning, try some vocalizing, and just see how that feels.
Mm. Oh, how beautiful. I'm going to be doing that myself today.
All right.
Sounds great. Well, wow, Laura, you have shared so much with us, so many golden nuggets of wisdom. And I really love how you are so embodied in all of this wisdom that you're sharing. If our listeners wanted to find out more about you and perhaps work with you, where would they go?
Thank you, Emmy. My website is my name. So it's floraware.ca. And the CA is because I'm in Canada. So floraware.ca is where you can visit me on my site, or otherwise find me on Instagram or Facebook, even TikTok. I'm giving TikTok a try because I have a new album coming out soon, and that seemed to be the place for like musical stuff. So you can find me online.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for that. And I understand you've got a gift for our listeners as well.
I do. And so we just briefly touched on how I love working with the chakras and that system for understanding our energy bodies. My gift is that I have a free quiz, and it is, which of the seven sacred feminine archetypes are you? So this is my own archetypal system that I intuitively downloaded about 6 years ago now, of looking at our chakras as also being the home to a primary feminine archetype. So when you take the quiz, you will learn, what your primary archetypal expression is, but also the chakra that is associated with her, and ways that you can activate or balance that chakra. And you also receive a goddess portal to explore that archetypal energy. So it's a fun quiz.
Thank you for that. That sounds really great. Beautiful. Well, Flora, thank you again for coming onto the show and sharing all that you've shared with us. And I really just love your energy and your vibration and all that you do. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, likewise. This has been a rich conversation. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our awareness and our intention on this beautiful, powerful energy that's been activated. And imagine sending this energy to everyone and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and really start to use our voices, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you so much for listening.